the last decade, there's been a kind of party that has found new popularity, and maybe you've been to one or two yourself. They tend to be known as gender reveal parties, and it's often a party that an expectant couple will choose to have even before the baby shower. The purpose of the party is what the name says. It is to reveal to the guests what the gender is going to be of the expected child. And it really is just another way to celebrate the joy of new life coming in our midst, right? However, what is very kind of interesting about the gender reveal party is that a couple tends to choose a very creative way to reveal the good news, right? That they might use exploding powders or confetti or balloon pops or food or paint or props. Regardless of the method, there's always lots and lots of photos posted all over the place. And there is an opportunity for family and friends to just get together and celebrate the anticipated joy that is to come, to recognize that change is coming with open arms, and of course, to have another excuse to eat cake. Now, while some reveal parties are pretty basic, the others can be pretty extravagant, and I hazard a guess that you have probably seen a blooper video or two about gender reveals that were either incredibly creative or maybe ones that happened to go a little unexpected and wrong. As I think about gender reveal parties, I often think about the first gender reveal party, which is in our Bible story today in Genesis 18. And in fact, of the gender reveal parties, it is probably one of the strangest ones ever. Think about it for a minute. Three strange guys show up to an elderly nomadic couple tenting in the wilderness and throw a dinner party where they officially announce to the couple, who don't even realize they're having a baby, that they're gonna have a baby and it's gonna be a boy. Now that is a YouTube video I'd love to see. And I often think about what the scene must have been like. If it was bizarre, hilarious, shocking, a mishap, maybe like an episode of Candid Camera, but regardless of what it looked like, I have no doubt why Sarah laughed, right? Because it is absurd. And that's what I'd like us to think about a little bit this morning, about what it means to encounter the absurd. Of course, in our case, it is what I've playfully labeled as a gender reveal party, our Bible story. But I want us to think a little bit about these kinds of moments in our lives where we happen upon something that seems absurd and laughable, and how it helps us reveal what may be possible. Because sometimes in our lives, when we are able to look at what seems absurd, we are given safe space to confront our own assumptions about what we see of ourselves and of our world. And we find ourselves on some kind of journey of discernment to discover what is the actual truth. And it's only after sometimes considering the impossible that we begin to understand what is truly possible and realize that we are often capable of far more than what we imagined. And when we are able to receive the absurd with laughter, like Sarah in our story today, we are able to see ourselves in new ways. And although some of those ways may not be wise or helpful, sometimes when we surprise ourselves with our laughter, we realize that we have stumbled onto a deeper truth about who we are and what we want. It is through absurdity that we are given opportunities to confront ourselves in gracious ways and ask, why is this happening? Or what is keeping me from pursuing that? And laughing at the absurd gives us the chance to leave everything on the table with questions, when we can question what we know, where we can begin to confront our fears, bandage our wounds, and let go of our despairs. So let's take time to drop into a very absurd Bible story today, the one that was read in Genesis 18. Here we meet Sarah and Abraham almost 25 years after last week's story. Last week, we encountered Abraham's call story, the iconic narrative in Genesis 12, where Abraham is blessed to be a blessing, a father to many nations with a great name, and he is called to go to a land that God would show him with his wife Sarah when they were in their 70s. Today, we fast-forwarded the story onto Genesis 18. It's 25 years later, and none of God's so-called promises have been fulfilled. And to add insult to injury, there have been a series of disappointments, to say the least, that have left quite a strain on their marriage. No land, no kids, and a lot of failure along the way. And it's at this point in the story where Abraham and Sarah are still nomads, wandering in Canaan, when three strangers come. Abraham, being a good host, shows them hospitality. And while they share a meal together, they have a conversation that Sarah eavesdrops on through the tent curtain. The main visitor informs Abraham in chapter 18, verse 10, saying, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife, Sarah, shall have a son." It's absurd. So Sarah laughs to herself. And I want us to take some time now to think about Sarah's laughter. As I have held this text in my prayers this week, I can only imagine the fullness of that laughter. Because not only is she confronted with an absurd impossibility to be pregnant at 99, I imagine her laughter was also mixed with a sense of despair and cynicism, weariness and anger about promises that had never come to be, and dreams left unfulfilled. Here is a woman who has been on the move time after time to help her husband achieve his dreams, and this dream causes them to go through some pretty rough years together. Both Abraham and Sarah have been through their ups and downs. They have seen the best and the worst in each other. They have tried to solve God's enigmatic blessings through their own devices, on their own terms, and sometimes each of their ideas had led to serious dramas when they did that. And many of them are not for a family show like this, so I encourage you to take time on your own to read what happened in Genesis 12 through 17. The truth is, when we peer into a moment in Sarah and Abraham's life today, We see the cracks into how real reality can be, of how we respond to life after we've seen the best and the worst in each other, after living through years of even being disappointed by God, and we get a glimmer of how hard it is to hold on to a promise after weathering the real storms of life, where we are left asking, how do we keep from being consumed by despair and disappointment when promises seem to be left unfulfilled? And here is where the Bible gives us a strange move. Laughter. So let's go back to the story. Sarah is left laughing to herself outside the tent. And we learn that the main visitor is not just any visitor. It is the Lord. The Lord hears Sarah laughing with his Superman level hearing and says to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son.'" And that's the moment where Sarah stops laughing, because she realizes God has spoken, that this promise is true, but it makes absolutely no sense. And she is terrified. And who can blame her? Childbearing in those days was dangerous at any age, nevertheless at the grand old age of 99. And I can only imagine the fears and disappointments that she carried in her own soul about her past. There is that kind of nervous laughter that bubbles out, mixed with the laughter of anger, despair, and disbelief. Yet God responds to her laughter with honesty and reveals a deeper reality of life for Sarah to cling on to. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? And the story ends, leaving us dramatically with absurdity, fear, laughter, and wonder, all mixed into one experience. Now, I've got to admit, Sarah's story is rather unique. I haven't heard of too many other divine appearances like hers, but today I want you to think about, when was the last time God showed up and said something to you that you thought was absurd? Something that made you laugh because it seemed impossible, incomprehensible, or simply too good to be true? The truth is, I think the power of this story is far more than a tale about an impossible pregnancy. It is a testament about what it takes to persevere on the long road with God, about staying faithful and persistent year after year after year, often when it feels like nothing is working, especially when you feel like you have nothing to show for it, and definitely when you feel like you are ready to give up. The strength of Sarah and Abraham is the witness of their persistence that they keep on going on through the hard, dry, arduous years that seem to show only failure, and that they are open to the moment when God shows up, reminding them and us that the time has come and that nothing is too wonderful for the Lord. Their story of failure and despair reveals the truth of most spiritual journeys. Stuff that most pastors don't want to preach about because it recognizes that most of this is often hard, arduous, and dry. Yikes. I mean, where's the t-shirt cannons and the freebies to lighten the mood, right? But there is power to Sarah and Abraham's story. And that is what ultimately becomes a source of hope for all of us today, isn't it? Their story endures for thousands of years because of their hardships and failures, because it was more than butterflies and rainbows, because their life is epic and yet has so many moments of human relatability, where we too are given a chance to look at our own lives and think about how we fit into that kind of story as well. Sarah and Abraham's story remind us that a life of faith always begins with a promise. That God says to each and every one of us, you have been blessed to be a blessing. Your name will be great. Sarah and Abraham walk with us as we grow up and begin to realize that with this kind of promise comes a long, hard, arduous journey. And that even a life of faith will go through disappointment and failures, where we will see the best and the worst in each other and even in ourselves, and that we too will have times of despair that all might be lost, and we will find ourselves one day laughing when the seemingly absurd is proposed. Every day, as your pastor, I pray that you may have the strength of Sarah and Abraham for your journeys of faith and life. Strength to see you through it all, and that you may never give up, that you may never let fear overtake you, and that you may have the courage like Sarah to laugh, to be amazed when God shows up unexpectedly, absurdly, when you think all is lost, reminding you again and again and again that nothing is too wonderful for the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.